This is awesome. Christmas morning, and we gather together to acknowledge the Lord's Day. I do want to real quick say thank you to Greg and Matt back there, kind of helping out on Christmas Day, and also to my amazing wife and my children, and we just sort of slept here last night. We were like, man, why waste the gas? And there's probably black ice on the road. Hey, in all seriousness, we are just very, hey, Brian, hey, buddy. You see you in the darkness over there. We just want to say Merry Christmas, and we wanted to have even just a small gathering today in acknowledgement of the fact that it's the Lord's Day. And we want to have a moment where we can, you know, we talk about all the time in the true meaning of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas. And so why do we do that? Well, we do that because there's a lot of there can be a lot of confusion about what Christmas is about, even for those of us in this room who profess to be followers of Jesus, right? And we live in a culture where Christmas is about gifts, or it's about the tree, or it's about the decorations, or the mall, or whatever. But the thing is, the reason we talk about the true meaning of Christmas is because there is a true meaning of Christmas, and it's about Jesus. It's first and foremost about Christ. And so that's why we wanted to just at least have a moment where we could spend some time in God's Word and sing a couple songs together. Those of us who love Jesus and know Jesus, we could observe the Lord's Supper here at the end. And so we're just really excited about this moment. So I want to pray, okay? I'm going to pray. And then Annabelle's going to lead us actually in a song here in a second, which is going to be cool. And then we'll have some time in God's Word in a few moments. So let's pray together, family. King Jesus, thank you for the opportunity we have to huddle up and remember you. And Lord, I just want to say thanks that your mercies are new every single morning. That when the sun came up over the horizon today, you had new mercies for your kids. You're a good God, a loving God. And we know that because your word says that you have demonstrated your love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's really what today's all about, Lord. We just want to remember that. We want to remember the greatest gift any of us have ever been given, which is the gift of the love of God through Christ. And so, Lord, right now, we just pause to say thank you. We pause to remember that this day is about you, Jesus. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bless our time together. It'd be edifying, encouraging, most of all, that it would glorify you. And I pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Nice. That makes me want to get pajamas. We should have done a pajama Christmas thing. Hey, here's what I want you to think about, okay? Here's what I want you to think about real quick. I want you to think about what's the greatest, like, physical gift you ever received for Christmas, okay, in your life. And so it might have been, maybe you were an adult, maybe you were a kid, right? But I want you to go there right now. Just imagine for me, try to think back, like, through the course of your life and think about at least maybe the top three. What are the top three get, like, you were most fired up about getting? And some of y'all are like me. I was a child during the greatest decade in the history of the world, the 1980s, okay? Which means as a child in the 80s, man, I got some pretty stinking awesome gifts that were legendary, that I was really fired up about. For example, I remember one Christmas when I was really young, I got a Light Bright. Anybody remember Light Brights? Remember this? We got, yeah, the Light Bright, which was basically the 1980s version of the iPad. And I mean, that's what it was, right? It's this little screen, and you put these little colorful things inside and made pictures. And then I think they got outlawed at some point because they found out you could swallow those things and die or whatever. But that was the 80s for you in a nutshell. Remember one year I got a Teddy Ruxpin. Anybody remember Teddy Ruxpin? So if you don't know what this is not just a teddy bear. This was like an animatronic bear, and you put this thing called the cassette tape in the back, right? Kids, pay attention. I think there's one in Smithsonian maybe, but you put a cassette tape in the back, you push play, and when you push play, the bear would move its mouth and tell you a story, right? And there were all these different story, different tapes you could put in there. And then one time I found out you could put a Guns N' Roses tape and it would sing. It was amazing, right? It was crazy. That's the kind of stuff I did as a kid, which was great. Which is great, by the way, like when you're, you know, when you're just telling you a story, but like if you're in a dark room and the bear's talking, you got kind of creepy. Remember the ViewMaster? Remember one time I got a ViewMaster? This was 1980s version of virtual reality right here, right? You put these little things inside, and then you do the little clicker, and it's like it's maybe a comic book type thing or different pictures, and these things were really cool. And then, speaking of cassettes, I got a cassette player, man. Remember Fisher-Price cassette player, and you could listen to these tapes. I miss tapes, man. Seriously, we need to go back to tapes and maybe outhouses instead of running water. I don't know. But Thundercats. Anybody ever play with Thundercats? Remember Thundercats? Lion-O, and you had the cartoon, and then they had Silverhawks, too. Remember my Thundercats? I love Thundercats. I don't know what happened to my Thundercats. I lost them at some point. And then there was, like, the gold standard one Christmas of all Christmas gifts, which was this right here, man, the Nintendo Entertainment System. I remember when I got that, there was no Christmas that could compare, man, and it was just like, the only downside to it was you had to share it with your sibling, right? You had to let them play for a while. I remember the first time I ever saved Princess Toadstool on Mario Brothers, and it changed my life forever. It was incredible. But the other crazy thing about the 80s is that there were really unsafe gifts that people didn't think through, right? I remember my parents, my mom one Christmas gave me a pair of these right here. Remember Fisher-Price roller skates? This would never get approved today in 2022 for kids, right? We make sure kids are safe. We put them in bubble wrap and we don't let them go outside. And this is like plastic flip-flops with wheels, right? And your parents are like, go play in the road. And you're just like, this is so terribly unsafe. And then I remember Texas Instruments, and you had the speak and spell. Remember this? The speak and spell. I remember getting one of these. Then they had the gray one, which was the math one. And you put the letters in and you would try to spell words and it would say the words. And you were having fun. And what you didn't realize, this was your parents' subversive way to educate you and make you smart, right? And they were great. There were these great gifts. And I remember even being so fired up as a kid about getting stuff like this. But then here's what's weird, like as I got older, right, I grew up and now I'm adulting and have been adulting for a while. The kinds of gifts that I ask for, that I even want for Christmas, they've changed, right? So when I was a kid, I wanted stuff that was fun. Now that I'm like 45, I just want stuff that's practical. I just want practical stuff, man. I remember a couple Christmases ago, it was like one of the best Christmases I ever had because my wife got me a heating pad. I just hurt all the, just a heating pad, babe. That would be amazing, right? A few Christmases ago, I asked for an electric nose hair clipper. This is what I want for Christmas. My mother-in-law this year asked me, hey, Anson, what would you like for Christmas? True story, and I think I'm getting this. Maybe in a couple days we go down to Macon to see them. She said, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I want a Dutch oven pot and a spatula because I just want to make some soup. Right? That's it. Life, mushrooms, rice, and broth, and we're good. It's just changed. Like the thing, I used to go big or go home, and now I just go really, really practical because here's the thing. The thing about Christmas is, as you grow older, there's certain things about Christmas that change, right? The kind of what you ask for changes. Your traditions maybe change. What you spend time doing during the day on Christmas maybe changes. But honestly, man, that's why today is so important, and that's why it matters that we gather, because here's what we acknowledge in this room today. With as much that tends to change about Christmas as the years pass, there's one thing about Christmas that never changes. And the thing that about Christmas that never changes is the meaning of Christmas. Why a day like this matters, what this day represents. And so the true meaning of Christmas is actually found in Luke 2. And I want to read it. And you just heard it. And I want to read it again. I know we preached through it back a few weeks ago, but we're going to spend time in it again to look at the true meaning of Christmas, why we're here, why this matters so much. This is what never changes about a day like today. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And so, in other words, this is the reason why Jesus is going to be born in the town of Bethlehem, in fulfillment of a prophecy that was made hundreds of years before this. And it's fascinating to me that the reason they end up from Nazareth, they end up in Bethlehem for Jesus to be born to fulfill this prophecy, is because Caesar Augustus issues a decree that a census should take place, which tells us, lets us in on a secret, that our God is so sovereign, he can use kings and authorities to accomplish his will and his purposes. Our God is on a throne. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." We talked about this a few weeks ago, man. That's the most repeated commandment in all of the Bible. Fear not. The angel says to these shepherds who were just completely terrified at the appearance of these angels, the angel says, "Don't do that fear thing. No, fear not. And for behold, I bring you good news." A count of three, everybody say good news. Ready? One, two, three. Of great joy. Count of three. Everybody say great joy. Ready? One, two, three. Great joy. That will be for all the people. Count of three. Everybody say all people. One, two, three. All people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And here's what you think about. Here's what you consider. What we just read, this story right here, these verses here in Luke chapter 2, I'm just telling you, no matter who you are, no matter what's currently going on in your life, no matter what your context is, your past, your baggage, or whatever, I want you to understand this right here, what we just read, is by far the most important thing that has ever happened to you. This is not just some history tucked away in this leather-bound book that we, you know, visit maybe once or twice a year. This is a historical event that is by far the most important thing that has ever happened in your life. And I know for many of us in here, we've had some pretty awesome things happen in our lives, right? So for those of you who are married, I get it. Your wedding day was awesome, but I'm telling you, this is better. For those of you in here who are moms, the day you gave birth was amazing. This is better than that. Back in last January, I got to sit there and watch the Georgia Bulldogs win the national championship, and it was amazing. And everybody in here loved it. At least everybody who's a Christian loved it. And that was amazing. But this is by far, man, this is better. Beloved, listen, the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the second person of the Trinity, would come from heaven to this earth, put on flesh, live the perfect life on your behalf, die on a cross, rise again from the grave, so that you could be rescued from hell, death, like sin, the curse, wrath of God, so that you could be rescued from that, that is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. That there's no better news under the sun. And here in this scripture, the angel describes it this way. I love what the angel says about the birth of Jesus, the advent of the Son of God, as we would call it, right? The fact that Jesus Christ has come to this world to pursue sinners like us. The angel describes it in three ways. First of all, he says that it is the fact that Jesus has come to the earth is good news. It's good news. What is good news? Well, it's good news that Jesus was born. It's good news that Jesus lived the perfect life on my behalf. It's good news that Jesus allowed himself to be betrayed at the hands of men. It's good news that Jesus allowed himself to be crucified. No one took his life from him. He laid it down of his own accord, we're told. It's good news that Jesus came out of that tomb on the third day. It's good news that Jesus ascended into heaven. It's good news that Jesus will come back again. It's like that old hymn says, man, Jesus paid it all to him I oh, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Amen? That's good news. There is no better news than that. And that's why today matters, man. For those of us in here who are of the faith, for those of us in here who recognize, man, I'm broken, I'm flawed, I need a Savior, it ain't me, I know me, and I'm not perfect, and I need the perfect one, and it's Jesus. I need someone to bridge the gap between me and a holy God, right? For those of us in here who know Christ and love Jesus, there's no greater news than this right here. The second thing the angel says about the fact that Jesus has come to this earth to pursue sinners like us is that it should give us great joy. It should give us great joy. And here's the thing. I want you to consider this, but because, you know, a lot of us in here today, if you haven't already, at some point today you're going to open some kind of gift. Or at some point today, you're going to look around and you're going to realize all the gifts you already have that you don't even need to open that are around you every single day, right? But the reality is today, you know, for a lot of us, it's about a gift that we're going to get. But I want you to remember something. No matter what kind of physical gift you might get today, that thing can never bring you joy. Like, it's impossible for that physical item to bring you joy. Like, it can make you happy for a while. It can get you fired up for a minute. But it can't give you joy because it's a temporary thing, right? It's temporal. It's you're gonna open something. You're gonna get a sweater, and eventually it's gonna go out of style. And today everybody may love it, and in 2 years when you wear it, everybody's gonna make fun of you, right? I mean, it's gonna be out of style, or it's gonna break, or it's gonna get stolen, It can make you happy, but it can't bring you joy, because here's the thing about joy, true joy, the kind of joy the Bible talks about, joy is about contentment. Joy isn't somehow manufactured by some physical item I receive. Joy is something that happens within me as I'm content in the fact that, man, God has provided salvation for me through Jesus. See, family, here's the deal. Happiness is about what happens to you. It's about happenings, right? My happiness is determined by whatever is happening right now. Joy is different, which, by the way, is why you can read the book of Philippians. Paul's writing Philippians from a prison cell in Rome, and the entire theme of the letter is joy. Paul says, I rejoice over and over again. In this I rejoice. He has joy even in prison. Why? Because he has Jesus. He doesn't have a Nintendo, he doesn't have a Dutch oven pot, but he's got Jesus, and he's content in Jesus. He knows Jesus. And that's where joy comes from, right? Joy comes from knowing that no matter what happens to you in this life, and don't miss that, it comes from knowing no matter what may happen to you in this life, you are loved and accepted by God because of what Christ has accomplished for you. That's where joy comes from. So, by the way, here's how you can know. Here's a sure sign as to whether or not you're experiencing joy later on today. Even if you don't receive that gift you've really been wanting so badly, right? Even if you don't get that, you can still smile because you know you have everything you could possibly need and more through what God has given you in Jesus. That's joy. It comes from contentment in God and what he has done. It's not about things. And then the angel says this, says it's good news of great joy. And the third thing the angel declares to be true about the coming of Jesus, the Son of the living God is given to us. He comes into the world on a rescue mission to pursue sinners. The third thing the angel says is that it's for all people. It's for all people. This good news is for all people. Jesus is for all people. In other words, family, what that means is that Jesus Christ is the gift that's for anybody. He's the gift that anybody can receive. Jew, Gentile, women, children, men, white people, black people, Democrats, Republican, poor folk, rich folk. Jesus is no respecter of persons. Like he says, whosoever will may come. This is why Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says to us, says everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everybody, man. Because what you realize at that moment is that it doesn't matter what color your skin is, it doesn't matter your demographic, it doesn't matter your past history. What you're acknowledging is, I fall short of God's standard and I need a Savior, and it's Jesus. Everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, you're the Lord, I'm not the Lord, you sit on the throne, I don't sit on the throne, you're the Savior, I'm not my own Savior. Everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's the good news of the gospel, man. Jesus pursues us and he loves us and he actually wants a relationship with us. So remember this Christmas, beloved. Jesus is good news of great joy for all people. And so today, what better day than a day like today, Christmas Day, for us to remember, not just like we talked about last night, if you were here at the Christmas Eve services, not just the fact that Jesus came as a baby, but also the fact that Jesus lived the perfect life, died on the cross, rose again. He's coming back again for his church. And we have an opportunity today just to take some time, to have some space in the middle of this day. I don't know what the rest of your day entails. I don't know what the rest of your day consists of. Mine is going to consist of a lot of breakfast casserole later. A lot, like a whole bunch. I don't know what the rest of your day consists of, but here's what I know. Today, right now, we want to make some space to acknowledge the cross of Christ, to acknowledge the grace of God given to us in Jesus. So I'm going to pray here in a second. And what we have is at the table. It's a little bit different today because what we have is the Lord's Supper that you open up and all that stuff there at the tables. But I'm gonna pray, and we're just gonna provide some space for you to prayerfully. Maybe you want to go to the table with your family. Maybe you want to go to the table with someone else who you're with. Provide some space for us just to acknowledge the Lord, acknowledge what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. We take the bread representing the body of Jesus that was nailed to a cross for us. We take the cup representing his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Man, what good news is that our sins have been forgiven by what Christ has accomplished. So if you're here today and you know Jesus and you love Jesus, you're saved by the grace of Jesus, your faith is in Jesus, then this Lord's Supper is for you. Man, if you're here just checking things out and you're just spending time with us, we love you. And we just want you to know that the Bible says, man, this is a time, this is a moment for those who have been saved by faith in Christ. And we just want to provide that space right now, family, on this Christmas day to remember this good news of great joy that's for all people. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your love for sinners like us. Lord, I think about that verse we talked about last night in the Gospel of John in chapter 8, verse 12. Where you tell that group of religious leaders, you declare it boldly and clearly, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Thank you, Jesus, that you, the light of the world, have come to bring light to us in a dark and broken world. Lord, we love you, we thank you for what this day means. We thank you, Jesus, that you have come to do what we could not do and would not do, live a perfect life of absolute obedience to God the Father, and then willingly lay down your life so that our sins could be forgiven, the price could be paid. You are the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've shown to us. And today on this Lord's Day, Lord, it is an absolute privilege and pleasure to look to you, to acknowledge you, to thank you, to praise you, to bless you. And so, Lord, right now as we go to these tables and we take the bread and we take the cup, would you just remind us of the joy that we got in the gospel? Lord, thank you for an opportunity right now to be with you. And pray all these things through the matchless name of King Jesus. Amen.